Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio here in the Lehigh Valley. I'm your host, John Pierce, and Ray Schwab is on the board for us. Good evening, Ray.
How you doing, John?
Doing very well, and we have a very interesting topic for our listeners today. It's called School of Sacred Ministries, Promoting Peace Through Understanding the World's Faiths and Traditions. We have three guests. They are Dan Hazelton, Annie Marins, and Peyton Petty. Let's start off with introducing them, and let's go with gentlemen first. This is, now Dan, you haven't insisted on this, right, that you would be first?
Indeed.
Uh-huh. But we're going to turn the tables on what we usually do and just give a little bit of your background. Dan was born in Providence, Rhode Island, grew up on the Jersey Shore, moved to Texas, graduated from UT at Austin. I guess UT is University of Texas, right, Dan?
That's correct.
All right. You see how smart I am. He had a 40-year career with a major computer manufacturer, manager of computer software. And, Dan, you have lived in more places than I can count. What are the different countries where you've lived?
I've lived in Hong Kong, Southeast Asia, lived in Paris, France, and have traveled to all the major continents save Antarctica.
No business for you in Antarctica, huh?
Not this time.
Not in this life. Dan, you've lived not only in those places, but for years at a time.
That's correct.
How long in each place?
Well, let's see. I skipped the first assignment, which was Madrid. We were in Madrid for 18 months in Spain, and that was very interesting. That was back when Franco was still alive. Franco actually passed while we were there. Fascinating place to be. And then we were in Hong Kong for 3 years, and then we were privileged to be in Paris for 5 years.
And this was you, your wife Marilyn, and our four boys.
Three boys.
Okay.
Three boys.
Right. So what a background. Been married to Marilyn for 37 years, and she has been a guest on Lehigh Valley Discourse. You've been in Allentown since 1988 and semi-retired since 2007. Congratulations. Dan, before we introduce the other guests first, and then we'll talk about your connection with the School of Sacred Ministries. Annie Marins, born in New York City. Ooh, this is an interesting background. What's your ethnic background, Annie?
Irish and German. Mm-hmm. My dad came from Ireland.
And what part of the city were you from?
I have Irish citizenship now, in addition to American citizenship.
And what part of New York City do you hail from?
The Bronx.
All right.
does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah, I actually have a lot of family in the South Bronx.
Really? Okay. Watson Avenue and Castle Hill?
All right.
She's getting very specific now. So Annie studied nursing in New York City. She married, moved to Bethlehem in 1968. So that's you have some roots here now.
You bet.
And finished her BS degree in nursing at Cedar Crest College and has had a nursing career, two grown children, daughter and a son. And she is employed at the Center for Humanistic Change. And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Okay, great.
She's a candidate for yoga instructor certification. Ooh, that's a different kind of area, huh?
It's fascinating.
And the School of Sacred Ministries, she graduated and was ordained interfaith clergy. And that's a title that I didn't know before, interfaith clergy.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about that during the coming hour. And our third guest, very patiently waiting here, Peyton Petty. Peyton grew up in Southport, Connecticut, and graduated from Wellesley College with a Bachelor of Arts degree in art history. Now, Peyton, give us the pitch for studying something that most people would say does not have practical value.
You can raise your children dragging them to every museum in the world, and they will now never set another foot in a museum.
What a recommendation. Well, the thing for me is do what you love to do, right? And
yeah.
You loved art.
That's right.
You've worked in advertising and marketing. You've been a business writer, newspaper reporter, and artist. Maybe we could use her around WDIY, right?
I'd say. Mm-hmm.
And a volunteer in various activities. Married to Mark Petty for 33 years. And two sons, ages 22 and 23. You put here that the older son lives in Haiti. What's he doing in Haiti?
That's actually part of the story of going to the school, interestingly enough. And I don't know if we want to get into it now, but as a result of being in the school, I changed fairly dramatically. And all of my relationships with my kids and family deepened. And my son kind of witnessed this. And as a result of watching me change, he left a pretty lucrative financial job and moved to Haiti and is now working for a microfinance bank down there. Started as an intern working for free for 3 months, and then he proved himself and they hired him. He's one of 10 Americans working down there, and the other 900 are Haitian. So he's on a major learning curve.
Wow.
Big change.
And learning a lot of French along the way.
Well, Creole. Yeah.
Creole. And when you say the school, you're talking about the School of Sacred Ministries.
That's right.
Annie, what exactly is the school? Give a little bit of history about it. Its founding, what's the purpose?
It was founded about 15 years ago. And the hope was that it would bring understanding. We are an interfaith studies program and a divinity school. If you choose to be ordained, that's your choice. But you can just come in for the 2.25 years and study all the different faiths.
All right. And the Dan and Peyton, who have participated in these programs, you have chosen not to be ordained. Is that correct? Or not sure yet? Or are you on your way?
Oh, I don't know about you, Dan, but I'm getting ordained. I wasn't going to when I started the program. I did it for personal enrichment. But after two years... I am going to get ordained.
How about Dan?
In for a penny, in for a dollar. Yes, I think I'm going to be ordained.
Oh, all right.
Well, you know, I just need to jump in here and say that I had no intention of being ordained when I went into the school, and I struggled with it. Did I really want to? And I'm so glad that I did, because I get calls from folks to perform interfaith marriages, funerals, baby blessings and that, and it's wonderful.
We'd like to remind the listeners that the phone lines are going to be open in case you have any questions as the show goes on. The number is 610-758-8810. Again, that's 610-758-8810.
And we would invite you to call with either questions or comments about the School of Sacred Ministries or about this kind of activity out there in society that maybe you didn't know about. If a person gets interested in going and learning about the School of Sacred Ministries, what's a phone number? What's an email address? Where is it located? A few facts like that.
We're located in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. And a phone number that you can call if you want to talk with an advisor or a graduate or a current student would be area code 267-772-7301, or you can email us at contact@ssminfo.org. And we also have a website, which is schoolofsacredministries.org, which we're in the process of rebuilding, but you can see our old site on it. That's live right now.
Very good. The program at the school itself. Now, if I were to inquire about taking courses, how long a period of time in my life does this take? How many days a week? Give us a little bit of information that way, Dan.
As Annie's already said, the total time commitment is 2 years plus, 2.25.
About 2.25
yeah,
years.
Two and a quarter years. And when I look at the schedule, I see that we average twice a month.
Two Saturdays a month.
It's very much a part-time commitment. Now we also have nine retreats mm-hmm. in total, nine retreats throughout the year.
Throughout the 2.25 years.
We'll have nine retreats. typically from Friday evening till Sunday afternoon, and there's reading that preparation for the all day course on Saturdays, and the work of the course is primarily those reflection papers.
Oh, he had to bring that up.
Tell us about those papers.
Well, that's my favorite part of the program. If some people don't like that, for me, it's my favorite.
You're a writer.
Well, okay.
You have an unfair advantage.
What the reflection papers are, it's an opportunity for many of us, for the first time in our lives, to write about what we genuinely believe. We will hear a speaker, and every Saturday we have a different speaker, and these speakers come from the whole tri-state area. And because we're close to New York and Princeton, we get some amazing speakers. And, for instance, a Buddhist who's been a practicing Buddhist for 50 years will come and talk to us about Buddhism. A Quaker will come and talk to us about the Quaker faith. We hear it from the horse's mouth. And we talk to these people all day Saturday, and we have lunch with them. And it's an exchange of ideas. And then we have 2 weeks to think about it. And I don't know. I just haven't ever had to think about these things before, and I get to write about them and say what I really think, and it's not an academic paper.
Ray, we have a caller. Oh, no? Not anymore. Okay. I thought we had a caller
there. Scared him off.
If we do have interest out there, anyone listening who would like to join us, our conversation, please give us a call. Ray, our telephone number?
The number is 610-758-8810.
Peyton was talking about reflection papers. I sort of like that term. I hadn't heard that term before. Uh-huh. First, you have to think before you write.
Yeah, and I used to come out of a meeting or a lecture day and think, well, I sure didn't like that religion. And I don't have anything to write about it, other than I just didn't like it. It's not me. And then I'd think about it, and it kind of would grow on you. And after about a week and a half, I thought, oh, my paper's due. And they're only like 2 pages. And I'd end up writing like 5 pages. And I was just, it's just been a very deepening experience.
I think we do have a call now. Caller, would you give us your first name and where you're calling from, please?
No, I wanted to remain anonymous.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
I'm wondering if the School of Sacred Ministries expresses a contempt for Christianity, because I have heard one of your guests express contempt for Christianity.
Oh, all right. Well, the guests who are here are showing surprise on their face. The caller has hung up, so let's go with that question.
That's a great thing to bring up.
It really is.
I mean, actually, because that's the whole reason we have the school, is to learn about other points of view. And I learned how to listen after 2 years.
Well, what about her point, contempt for Christianity?
I don't really know what she's talking about.
I don't know what she's talking about either, because we have so many speakers on Christianity, in addition to all the other wisdom and faith systems. So I think there must have been a misunderstanding of what was said. You know, what I do want to just say that the most important thing that I learned, and I was in the very first class 15 years ago that went through this, and the thing that was most important to me was to see the commonalities that exist between all the faiths. In every faith, Christianity, Sikhism, Judaism, Islam, Native American spirituality, and on, they all have, if they do have written scriptures, in their scriptures is always the golden rule. So the commonalities are terrific. So what we do is we embrace the commonalities of all religions.
It's actually, I mean, the students are beginning to chafe at the bit a little bit, because they're all beginning to sound the same to us.
And we have another caller on the line. Would you give us your first name and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, my name is Norman. I'm calling from Hanover Township.
Welcome, Norman. And what is your comment or question?
I'd like to know what the guest would say to a person who does not believe in any religion at all.
Excellent question. Thank you, Norman.
Oh, gosh. Right. That's a great question.
Who wants to field that one?
I think we all can. Go ahead and start, Peyton.
Oh, well, so much of it is a matter of what of words. I've always had a hard time with words. 2 years ago when I started the program, if anyone said to me, what is your faith tradition? I'd say, well, I was forced to go to Episcopalian church as a kid, but when we got home, they hung up God in the coat closet and slammed the door, and I've had enough of it. I don't believe in anything. So when I started the school 2 years ago, I started because something was wrong, and I felt I was missing something. And I was very angry about religion and the, heaven forbid, the God word. And I came in as someone who was not any kind of I had no spiritual feeling at all when I entered the school. I didn't think. I hate to say the word atheist, but my husband kept saying, you're not an atheist. You don't know what that word really means. But, you know, the first day of school, I said to everyone, I don't know why I'm here, because I've always kind of told people I'm an atheist, but I'm hungry for something, and this place feels safe. So that's why I joined it.
So you were hungering for something, and that's the reason you even went to the school in the first place.
It is. I always thought, like, if I meet someone I don't really feel comfortable with, that's always been my private signal to get to know that person. And this is really personal, but I would go to church once in a while when I had to. You know, someone would get married or there'd be a baptism. And I would be chafing at the bit under the doctrine and stand up and sit down and do this and do that. But then they would start to sing, and I got very emotional. And after about 20 years of this, I kind of got onto myself, and I thought, you know, you better check this out. And I heard about the school, and I met a woman who had graduated from the program, and I learned that it was an incredibly safe place to grow and to voice your points of view and to learn about other points of view, and the rest is kind of history.
There is so much emotion connected with music, and it's so important, and you think about your own experiences in church or even just in your life, and the nostalgia that certain music brings to you, and the good feelings, and you were with people whom you loved at the time, and so on. So I think that's a really interesting point, that it was music that was important to sort of bring you mm-hmm. to this school. Dan, what about you?
Yeah.
What would we say about someone who doesn't believe in God?
Well, my response is welcome.
Yeah.
Just come and see how the water is.
Absolutely. And honestly, that is what drew me. And I agree with Peyton. My sense of things was it was going to be okay. It was going to be safe to say, I don't know. I want to know. And the term seeker, yeah, I think really applies to the people who are there. People who do not have any definite notion of the mystery, what there is, unseen, what is there, it's been a wonderful experience while I've been there. I've been exposed to so many different ways of approaching coming up with an answer that works, and there's so much support, and the reflection papers result in you determining, what it is that resonates with you, what it is that, what it is that works.
What ultimately do you do with those papers? Do you share them amongst each other?
There's an advisory council. You're assigned, to an advisor, somebody who's gone through this before. I have no idea what they did the first year.
Oh, we had advisors that read our reflection papers.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But only one advisor reads your paper. It's very private.
Correct.
It's not shared. And,
right.
She might make comments or she might not, but it's always heard. I feel very heard.
And then you have, I'd assume, a very open discussion about what you had written and how you have developed over time.
I go back and look at the first papers.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed about my first papers.
Aren't we all? We are chatting here on Lehigh Valley Discourse with Dan Hazelton, Annie Marins, and Peyton Petty about the School of Sacred Ministries. And we are going to take a break right now. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported community public radio.
And Ray, let's give the listeners once more the number that they could call if they'd like to express an opinion or a question for us.
Well, we've had two great calls so far. We'd like to hear some more. If you have any questions throughout the show, you could call us at 610-758-8810. Again, that's 610-758-8810.
Our topic is the School of Sacred Ministries. We had a question about someone who either doesn't have a religion, perhaps has a faith, but is not connected with an organized religion. Is that a possibility, Annie?
Oh, I think so. I definitely think so. I can tell you why I entered the School of Sacred Ministries and where I am right now. And I entered because, just like has been expressed by Dan and Peyton, I had questions. And I had a yearning to know the answer to these questions. And it looked like the school may be a place where I could get some. I just tapped the table, and I'm being told not to tap the table. So that's why we're laughing. So anyway, so I entered the school because I wanted to know the answer to these questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What's this all about? Is there an ultimate reality? And what happened for me, and I'm so grateful for it, is that having gone through the school, having looked at so many of the world's faiths and wisdom traditions, I came out feeling very, very comfortable with uncertainty, with just not knowing. But I was comfortable with that. Now I'm still exploring, and I'm on the advisory circle, so I attend many, many of the presentations and the retreats, and I'm still exploring. I don't consider myself, yes, I have been ordained interfaith clergy, but I don't have the answers to everyone. I'm a fellow traveler with them, and I'm still exploring.
Isn't that true of all clergy everywhere, if we're honest about it, and if they're honest about it? And so as having been ordained, Annie, what kind of functions do you perform?
Okay. It's fascinating because, as I said, I really, up to about 2 weeks before, didn't know that I was going to be ordained. I knew I would graduate, but I didn't know. Within 6 months, I was asked to marry a nominally Muslim man and a nominally Christian woman. And it was, and of course I said, well, you know, I've never done this before. And it was a good friend of mine that asked me because they were looking. They didn't know who would marry them, being so different or coming from such different backgrounds. And it was wonderful. I've had two Muslim-Christian marriages, Jewish-Christian, and then Christian-Christian, and the same thing with funerals. I received a call from somebody I didn't know, because I had typically not advertised that I do this or that I was ordained. And this person had heard from somebody that was a friend of mine, and we hadn't seen each other in about 5 years, that maybe I could help out his employee who died suddenly, fell down a flight of stairs, and the family didn't belong to any structured faith, and they really wanted something spiritual in terms of the funeral ceremony. So I was able to do that, and others too. So
many times in churches, if you want to have one of these ceremonies performed, a wedding, a funeral, baptism, you have to be a member of the church. So this is different for the School of Sacred Ministries, I take it.
That's correct. You know, I've performed weddings I perform weddings outside in beautiful, beautiful settings. I have performed weddings at the location that the reception is going to take place. Funerals usually have been done at the funeral home.
Right. And when you do weddings, is it always a case of interfaith?
Well, one wedding was two Christians, you know. But some folks, because of various circumstances, cannot be married within the faith that they would like to be married.
Or don't want to be.
Some don't want to be, right, Peyton. But some would like to, and yet they can't. Mm-hmm. So they turn to someone else, and they do want it to be a spiritual ceremony.
Are the two functions that you've mentioned so far are weddings and funerals? Are those the two? Do you have a baptism?
Oh, there's
that
a. I went to a baby blessing with a woman who actually introduced me to the school, asked me to help her on a baby blessing a month or two ago, and two babies were being blessed at the same time. It was a big family. It was so cool, and she needed someone else to help hold the baby, the other baby.
Stuff.
So yeah.
We have a call. Caller, would you please give us your first name and where you're calling from?
Hello, this is Rick, and I'm calling from Allentown.
Rick, welcome to the show. What would you like to say?
I've been involved with the Unity organization for over 10 years. I've been studying A Course in Miracles for almost a year, and I'm very satisfied with where I am spiritually. I just received an email just a couple days ago containing a video that was created by the Department of Homeland Security about what to do if there's somebody that starts shooting the place. It was all about run, hide, or fight. And, you know, I've made the habit of not giving any energy to negative things. And I'm still pondering about what I should do. Should I forward this as the person who sent it to me pleaded, or let it rest? And I'd like to hear your opinion.
Rick, thank you very much for your call. Interesting question. So he's received an email with advice on what to do if somebody shows up and suddenly starts shooting. Do you have any advice to give on that?
I guess I'd read it first. I don't know.
Read the email.
I'd read the email first.
Yeah.
I hate forwarding emails to my friends. I mean, they give me so many emails as it is. I guess I'd have to see if I really thought it was really legitimate and critically important. I don't know.
I don't know if this is going to help the caller at all, but in studying all the different religions, I've taken pieces out of each one that resonate with me. And out of the Vedic Hindu faith, their basic underlying fundamental belief is non-harm, or at least the least harm in any situation. So if I'm in a situation where somebody is shooting and killing people, I look at it as, so what do I do? What is the least harm? You know, when World War II started, you know, if you're a pacifist, you wouldn't be involved in protecting yourself or others. But if you really subscribe to the least harm, then a lot of people really helped to stop that war.
Peyton?
I don't have anything else to say about that. Okay. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd have to read it and think about it.
I think I'd dive underneath the table first. But if I had to do something active, and I could, but I don't know that I could, I might.
I'd check the validity of the email. I'd be on there looking to see, under urban myths, if this really was from
Dan the skeptic.
Yeah, but I thought that the question was, what would you do if you were in that situation? I had trouble understanding the question,
honestly.
He wanted
to know if he should respond to it or just let it go.
Oh, respond to the email. Well.
So let's talk a little bit about the word interfaith, which you use liberally, correct? Freely?
Correct.
What is really meant by interfaith in your context?
I will give you my thoughts on it. Interfaith to me means understanding and coming to a real comfort with the many faiths and wisdom traditions that exist. And as I said before, after I had attended the school, and I'm still a seeker, but where I am is just really trying to understand. And acceptance comes with understanding. So interfaith just means the understanding, and that was the purpose for which the school was started, to bring understanding.
Wisdom traditions. I like the term. You use that term in the courses also.
Yes.
When a person enrolls in the 2.25-year cycle that you teach, how many different courses are there? What are the titles of some of the courses? Could you give us a little
syllabus? Every Saturday we have a different speaker. The first year and a quarter, we focused on all the different religions, spiritual traditions, wisdom traditions, including earth-based, tribal. We weave mysticism, all sorts of things. I mean, just we hear from a whole bunch of different speakers. And that's really neat. I mean, probably the most fascinating teacher that I can recall was this guy who was born in India, came to the United States, became a United States citizen, was in the Fortune 500 way up there. When he retired, he joined all sorts of boards and so forth. But he started to want to read the Vedic scriptures again. And he had so many questions of his friends that understood these scriptures better than he thought he did. But they all gave him different answers to the same question. So he thought, well, I've got to learn Sanskrit. So here's this guy who's like in his 60s. He quits all these boards he's on, and he spends 3 years doing nothing but learning Sanskrit, 9 to 5, 7 days a week. And he came and talked to us. He's one of the foremost Vedic scripture scholars in the country now, I guess. And he was funny and wise, and that was one of the speakers that really impressed me. But anyway, every Saturday was a different speaker, the first year and a half. And then the second part of the program, we get into other issues related to providing ministerial services to people, counseling. We learned about hospice, bereavement. We learned about the Circle of Miracles. The last caller talked about that. We had a wonderful speaker who talked to us about that. What are some other topics? I sort of can't think of them all.
Native American spirituality, shamanism,
mm-hmm.
pagan,
mm-hmm.
Sufism.
Mm-hmm. And then in the second year, we're doing public speaking. We're studying how to become a reflective listener. That's probably the biggest thing I've taken out of the course, is how to become a listener, how to listen. So it's not just all about other faith traditions. It's also, we hear from a lot of speakers about areas that really enriched our lives and deepened us as people.
What is the circle of
The Course in Miracles.
The Course in Miracles.
The Course in Miracles. What is that?
The Course in Miracles is fascinating. It began with the second highest person at Columbia University in the psychology department. And she started having what scared her. It was undoubtedly a mystical experience, but it frightened her. She's in psychology. So she talked to her boss, who, and before this, they were having some differences about values and that within that. But she talked to him and said, listen, it's not voices, it's not anything else. I'm just getting these messages. And he said, write them down. So after the 2+ years of writing this down, at the end of it, this message that she was getting said that this was Jesus talking to her and saying, really, my basic message when I was here was love, let go of fear, and forgive. So that's what the Course in Miracles is all about, and a lot of people are very interested in it because it's so simple. You know, it's let go. You can let go of fear if you can love, and the way you can do that is go through the process of forgiveness, which is difficult for all of us.
Yes, but it is. Dan, what do you have as far as courses? You're looking at the list there.
Yeah, and the what strikes me is that now in my bio, I spent a lot of time doing intellectual, pursuits, both professionally and, in my pastime. Something I've been introduced to at the school is heart-based training. And I'm still struggling trying to describe exactly what I mean by that. But I think it involves spiritual practice. Okay, I think that was the first thing that. And you spiritual practice is not thinking about spirituality. Spiritual practice is actually doing spiritual things. Okay, and some of them are obvious. Yoga would be one. Meditation. Right. Okay, prayer. Okay, but I've been introduced to ritual, which of all sorts. The Native American, the Sufi. I've come to appreciate altar. I never understood what an altar was until I came to the school. An altar, it says what it is. It alters. An altar alters your space. The place. That you're in. This is not intellectual. It's heart.
And all of your working life, you were dealing with the mind.
Yes.
And not with the heart so much.
No.
And now you, in fact, Dan wrote for us, he enrolled in the School of Sacred Ministries in the fall of 2010 to consolidate and expand a lifelong interest in the study and practice of religion, philosophy, and spirituality. So, you have had these longings all of your life, probably.
Exactly.
And then now in retirement or semi-retirement, you get to explore them more deeply.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
A lot of our students are in transition. They're either they've just been recently retired or they're between jobs. They've just graduated from a program and they're trying to figure out what to do next. I was an empty nester. I thought I would go and do what I've been doing for 20 years full-time, and I found I was very lonely. It wasn't what I wanted to do at all. And I suddenly found myself in transition. Some people are recently widowed. So we do have a lot of people in transition.
Yeah, we do. And, our folks come from many of the different professions, social workers, psychologists, IT folks like Dan. They can be homemakers. We've had veterans come through.
Artists, newspaper reporters. One of our current classmates is a biochemist by training. And so she's now a hospice.
Folks from all walks of life.
Chaplain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they have this interest and longing that you all have expressed. In fact, Peyton writes here, I decided to attend the School of Sacred Ministries because I sensed that my lifelong discomfort over anything religious deserved some attention. This goes back to your rebellion against religion at a certain time in your life. And she says the school has provided a safe environment in which to explore and learn. I think that's an interesting concept, that sacred space such as a church, synagogue, mosque, or the like should be a safe place. And unfortunately, many times it's not. We don't really talk about what's on our hearts as much as we might. And the safer you can make these places, it seems to me, the better. Ray, we're ready for another break. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse here on WDIY Allentown. We're talking about the School of Sacred Ministries. We'll be back in 1 minute.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Easton Main Street Initiative, offering free concert series this year. Live at Riverside will run on the first Friday of every month through September at the Riverside Park Amphitheater. Friday, September 7th, The Large Flowerheads, a funky trip back to the 1960s. For weather cancellations and information, eastonmainstreet.org or Facebook.
Okay. Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, John Pierce, along with Ray Schwab this evening, and we are talking about the School of Sacred Ministries, which is located in Doylestown. It promotes peace through understanding the world's faiths and traditions.
Now, we're entering the final stretch of the show, and we do want to remind the listeners, we've had a couple of great calls so far, but you can give us a call at 610-758-8810 if you have any questions or comments on this very interesting topic.
Thanks, Ray. Our guests are Dan Hazelton, Annie Marins, and Peyton Petty. They are all connected to the School of Sacred Ministries. I'd like to ask each of you now what you plan to do when your time at the school is over. Now, this would be for Peyton and Dan. Is there some obvious connection that you make between what you've been doing at the School of Sacred Ministries and your future? What some activities might be in your future? Peyton?
Well, I've changed so much over the past 2 years. I'll probably keep working in some of these new areas. I've become a hospice volunteer. I really enjoy that very much. I'll continue to do that. I'd like to get more into some sort of advocacy for women and children. I'm not sure where that will go, but I'm feeling very open to an awful lot right now. I'm actually really excited to see where I end up in the next few years.
Have you already finished your coursework at the school?
We finish in December, so we have just this fall left to go.
Both you and Dan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep.
So you're classmates?
We're classmates. We're buds.
You're buddies. And Dan, how about you? Some thoughts about the future?
Well, I don't want to stop, the process, and I've discovered that the local through Peyton, I discovered that the local Quaker yearly meeting actually has a 9-month program starting in just a couple of weeks, and it's right down my alley. The program. You make a commitment that you will engage in a daily spiritual practice, which is what I need to do, and you meet in small groups to review how that's going. There's a reading list. I've been very attracted to the Quakers. I personally find their meetings to be very enriching.
I started going to Quaker meeting about a year ago, and I really enjoy it.
We have a caller on the line. Would you please tell us your first name and where you're calling from?
This is Mike. I'm calling from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Welcome, Mike.
Yeah, my question is, what does your school teach about life after death? I know many religions say that we are the one true way, and if you don't follow us, you will be tormented forever. And, so what do your people say about that?
That's a great question.
Thanks, Mike.
The school doesn't teach us anything. That's why I like the school. We just listen to dozens and dozens of speakers from all walks of life, all religious traditions, and we hear their point of view, and then we get to go home and chew on it and figure out what we want to believe. We're not taught anything. We're exposed to many, many, many different points of views and ways of looking at that issue and many more issues.
So if I could be the devil's advocate here, you go home and you're more confused than ever. Annie, how about that? Is this the school of confusion?
I never found it was a school of confusion. I went there to just explore, and there were some of the teachings of the world faiths and wisdom traditions that really resonated with me, and others that just didn't. But what I found, as I said earlier, was the commonalities between them and what is fundamentally the same. Once you get into theology and doctrine and dogma, that's where you get into all these differences. But what I found personally was the golden rule was was just fundamental to every one of them. The golden rule is, and it's said in so many different ways, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I can give you 20 different scriptures that say that, says that from the different faiths and wisdom traditions.
This gets personal. John is actually a close friend of the family. And John knows that we lost our middle son a little over 10 years ago. And so I've been very, very concerned with that. And actually, one of the things that led me to the school was going through that experience, you know, of losing my son and not knowing what to do with it. And we just, this last Memorial Day, had a family and friends, you know, gathering on the 10th anniversary of my son's passing. And in the process, I was able to come to some new understanding about where my son is now. And that's my own personal, you know, insight. You know, it's something, you know, that I, you know, would share, you know, on a one-to-one. It's certainly not something that I was taught directly by the school, but I was given, you know, the support of the school to, you know, develop, you know, a level, you know, of comfort with, you know, where my son is at, you know, today.
In fact, Ray, the genesis of this interview was this gathering that Dan refers to at his house in Allentown, and I met Annie there, and I knew Dan from before, and I thought, well, we have a subject here for Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Sounds very enlightening.
Yes. And Peyton, you were going to add something, or was it Annie?
No, the thing that I wanted to echo that's been said by both Peyton and Dan is this, the safety factor in the school. You are given permission to just explore. And you're encouraged to explore. You're supported in your exploration. And it's just a safe place.
Yeah. And so let's go on to Annie then about what your activities are now. Are you a full-time pastor, we would call you? Or how does that work?
No. I am not. You know, that's not something that I see in the future for myself. I told very, very few people after graduating from the school. My children knew, and four others, that I was an ordained interfaith clergy. And somehow, though, the word spread, you know. And so then I was asked to do weddings and funerals, and I'm glad to do it. I'm preparing for a wedding right now in October with a lovely, lovely couple. So I'm doing that. The work as an advisor at the school and as a circle member at the school is very, very time consuming. Friends of mine knew that I was interested in interfaith, and they said, you know, my church has got these meetings between the Muslims and Christians. And it's called Muslims and Christians United. You should go. So I went, and people then started realizing my connection with the School of Sacred Ministries and that we were interfaith. And they asked me to join their planning committee. And I'm really, really glad to be there because it's a belief that I have that we need to understand each other.
I'm glad you mentioned that group, Annie. It's meeting right now as we speak.
Yes.
And it meets the first Thursday of the month, and they alternate between Wesley United Methodist Church on Route 512 and the Islamic Center on Schott Avenue.
In Whitehall.
So anyone who is interested in Muslims and Christians United, there is a place to start. Again, interesting speakers and even interesting food.
Oh, it's like a five-star restaurant.
You have Middle Eastern food mixed with the Western foods, and it's quite a time.
Now, how does the school impact the Lehigh Valley as a whole?
That's an Annie question. That's all she talks about.
I know. We have had over 100 graduates from the school in the 15 years. And those graduates are going out with more understanding. my hope and really my belief is that they're able in their own ways, either large or small, to talk about the commonalities between the faiths and not the differences in that. And many of our graduates have moved across the country. So they're bringing that there too. And this is my take on the school. We bring understanding, help with acceptance, and in our little way, we can't help but assist towards peace between peoples.
And the majority of the students at the school will not be ordained.
No, that's actually not true. I don't know anyone that hasn't been ordained.
Actually,
everyone decides to at the
end. Actually, most of the students start, they start the program for personal enrichment like I did. And we all end up getting ordained because our lives are so fully changed. Very few people want to go out and be full-time members of the interfaith clergy. You're shifted. It's a whole paradigm shift after this program. And you're shifted and you feel that you want to be of service to others. You start to feel differently. And so you do choose to be ordained. Many people don't do anything with the ordination, quote unquote, do anything with the ordination. They don't do ceremonies. I don't plan on doing ceremonies. My life's too busy.
Why is it an advantage to you to be ordained? Why not just take the courses, finish it, and say, I had some really deep thinking about things that are important to me, and that's enough?
Well, up until a month ago, that's what I would have said.
We caught her too late, Ray, for this interview.
It's a very personal decision. It's a in my situation, it was a very serious decision to make. I am choosing to be ordained. Because I feel different. I feel I am now the kind of person who can be of service to other people. I can minister to the needs of others. It might just be the lady I bump into at the grocery store. It might be a hospice patient. It might be my children. But I feel I now have a job that's different from the other jobs I've had where I've been paid. I can't quite explain it.
Right. Ordination. So when you are asked to perform ceremonies, Annie, are you recognized by clergy of the so-called mainline religions?
Do you
have to be? Is it an issue?
You have to be recognized by the state that you will do the wedding in. You know, there are some states that you don't have to be ordained at all, like Colorado. You know, an uncle can marry you. You know, and even in Pennsylvania, there is the typical marriage license that we know about, and then there is the self-uniting license that exists in Pennsylvania. It used to be called a Quaker marriage license, but now it's called a self-uniting. Other states have self-uniting licenses, too, so that the couples really marry themselves. A lot of couples that I am aware of that do have the self-uniting license, they still want someone there to officiate, even though that person officiating is not going to sign their marriage document, because they sign it themselves, in Pennsylvania anyway, in the presence of two witnesses. You know, this marriage has to take place in the presence of two, and then those two sign it.
So the important thing for it to be a legal marriage is that the state has to approve.
The state approves it, and as I said, Pennsylvania's got two types.
And we are ordained through a community church in Doylestown.
Yeah,
the church which started the program,
yeah.
And you know, you can go and become an interfaith minister on the internet for $10. We have a bricks and mortar program where you get to know a whole community of students and faculty, and you become part of a community and you really grow as a person. And yes, you get this certificate because we're affiliated with this church. We've got this legal ordination. We've got this piece of paper, but I mean, anyone can go on the internet and get $10 interfaith. This is a whole different. This is a game changer. What we do.
Yeah, yeah.
And Peyton, you wanted to mention something that's coming up in the future.
I just wanted to mention that if anyone is interested in learning more about this school, we are having a Q&A. Sort of follow-up, if anyone wants to come and have a cup of tea and ask us some questions, on September 20th, which is a Thursday, at 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock at the Starbucks at the promenade shops in Saucon Valley. You can get more information about that by emailing contact at ssminfo.org or calling 267-772-7301 or friend us on Facebook, the School of Sacred Ministries.
All right, you're on Facebook, too. You're
Oh, and Twitter.
You're young enough to do that. Huh?
Wow.
So we have some ways that a person could find out about the School of Sacred Ministries by going. What's the date of that gathering again?
September 20th. It's a Thursday, 5 to 6. We're just going to have a cup of coffee and hang out, and if anyone wants to join us, they can. We'll have open houses in the spring. We have these Q&As every month. And they're on our Facebook page. And
is it always on a Thursday?
No, we do them different days, different times of the day, different days of
this
the week.
This one happens to be just before Lehigh Valley Discourse.
We did it purposely that way.
That's right. Thursday was the day we were all that we were free.
But we really encourage anyone who is interested in this to talk to graduates of the program or current students. Because it's the kind of thing you want to sit down with a friend and have tea and talk about it. It's a deeply personal decision. And it's the kind of thing you need to really think about for a long time and talk about. It took me 3 years to decide to do this. And we offer the program every 3 years. So there you go.
All right. So let me just read you what Annie wrote as far as her motivation for becoming part of the School of Sacred Ministries. I attended the School of Sacred Ministries to explore the major spiritual and wisdom traditions of the world's beliefs, which are offered in our curriculum. The program helped me see the deep commonalities running through all beliefs and wisdom traditions, the golden rule, as she has mentioned. The school has helped me be much more comfortable with the uncertainty of answers with the universal questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? What is this life all about? Though I originally was not at all interested in being ordained as an interfaith clergy, I chose to be ordained. As I now perform interfaith marriages, funerals, other rituals, baby blessings, and so on. Those who turn to me as interfaith clergy seek a spiritual aspect in important and significant rituals in their lives. These folks may not be members of any specific organized religion, may have interfaith leanings, may be couples coming from different faith backgrounds, or for other reasons, cannot or do not turn to other clergy. I see myself as a fellow explorer / traveler on understanding the great mystery. Great and
the
mystery.
Great mystery.
Uppercase.
Great mystery. And I learned that from the Lakota tribe, the Native American Lakota tribe. They used, and I thought, yes, that's the term I'm looking for.
The great mystery.
The great mystery.
Folks, you've been listening to Ways of Dealing with the Great Mystery for the past hour here on Lehigh Valley Discourse, WDIY Allentown. Want to thank our guests, Annie Marins, Peyton Petty, and Dan Hazelton, for coming by and chatting with us today. Best of luck to you all. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to WDIY in Allentown 88.1 FM and HD listener-supported community public radio. That's WDIY at 88.1 FM and HD in Allentown and Bethlehem, and on Translators 93.9 in Easton and Phillipsburg, 93.7 in Fogelsville and Truxtortown, and on the World Wide Web at WDIY.org.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. In Charlotte, North Carolina, it is the final night of the Democratic National Convention. Tonight, President Obama and Vice President